Martin is starting the book of Matthew for us today.
So what is a gospel? What is a gospel? You see, we are familiar, are we not? We are familiar with town criers in their ornate costumes. But town criers, through the ages, have been incredibly important. They make public announcements long before TV, radio, newspapers. Certainly long before Facebook, people got their news in the town square. And going back to biblical times, an emperor or a king who would want to let all of his subjects know of their victories, of their conquered cities, of the battles they have won, they would send out messengers far and wide across their kingdom with a cry for people to gather, to come and hear the euangelion, the euangelion in Greek. Come and hear the good news. Euangelion is where we get our word evangelize from, to tell out good news. And the Gospels were a totally new form of writing. They weren't history books or biographies. They weren't poetry. They were something really without explanation. They were good news. They were euangelion. And so what we are referring to and what we're looking at is the euangelion of the book of Matthew. And what we're going to look at as a church over the next few months, not altogether, you'll be very pleased to know, we're going to take these in patches. We're going to look through the whole of the euangelion, the good news of the Gospel of Matthew. In other words, the good news of Matthew's book. It's the good news about Jesus, written by a guy called Matthew. And what's special about it is Matthew was an eyewitness. He was right there with Jesus. He saw it. He'd been there, seen it, heard it, lived it. And now he wants to pull all the threads together and tell his story. You find Matthew himself in chapter 9 of his book of Good News, where he features he was a tax collector. And what this tells us, actually, is that this is a very accurate account of events. As a tax collector, he would have been meticulous in his details. I thought about Denise at this point, not as a tax collector, but Denise does is a treasurer. She does a phenomenal job for us as a church. But she has to be so meticulous and accurate about keeping everything right. And she's also someone that makes lots and lots of notes. You see, I think Matthew would have been a bit like that. That would have been in his psyche. He would have made notes. So what we're talking about here is something that is incredibly accurate. Can you imagine going around and he thought, oh, Jesus has just done that. I'll just make a note in the margin of my scroll. And so he's pulling them all together into one place. So today, right at the start, what I'd like to show you is who the book was written to and why. It was written to a Jewish audience predominantly. How it links what we know as the Old Testament and the New Testament together. And how it helps to show Jesus as the Messiah. But you know something that can do this a whole lot better than I can. So, for those of you listening to this on audio, if you would like to, we will ensure that that video is also put up on our YouTube channel so you could watch it. And if you're here and you think, that just happened so fast, I'd like to watch it again. Likewise, we'll put it up on the YouTube channel. The other thing I should say, by the way, is I have printed off a copy of these for everyone, and that is the whole deal of Matthew. So even if you find the video too fast after the second viewing, you can read it at your leisure. This is the Gospel of Matthew. So who is this book really aimed at? Well, Matthew is writing his Euangelion, his good news, in approximately 60 to 80 AD. And right at the start of the book, we've got this wonderful genealogy. Right at the beginning, an announcement of good news. But to our eyes, it's kind of, it's an odd place to start, don't you think? They say that modern day novelists will spend ages, sometimes weeks, perfecting that first sentence or that first paragraph of a book. Because when someone opens a book, that's how long it takes them to decide whether they want to read it anymore. Fiona is a librarian. You will see hundreds of books. And there will be certain ones and you'll just, the first line will catch you. Well, we've got the exact opposite here, haven't we? We've got a long list of names. Boring. But is it? Matthew wasn't a fool. Why would he do this? The very first line, if we looked and opened your Bibles, the very first line of the book of Matthew says this. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now to the Jewish people, their lineage, their ancestry, it was so incredibly important. And Matthew is saying, I'm going to show you something here about this Jesus that I'm talking about. I want you to see where he came from. He is a direct descendant of King David. He's from the line of Abraham. The prophecies of the Old Testament say that he's going to come from the line of David. This is really putting it into place, saying you cannot fault this guy's credentials here. There's something very special about him. And then look at this genealogy. Look at the people Matthew includes. This would have been far from normal to have some of these people included in your genealogy. Certainly if you were writing your own, you wouldn't put some of the people here. We look at these things again with a 21st century mind view. To first century viewers, there would actually have been a sharp intake of breath. You know, there are 46 people listed here that span roughly 2,000 years. And some, you think, great, they're the heroes of the faith. You've got Abraham there and Isaac. You've got Ruth and King David. But some are decidedly dodgy, like Manasseh and Abijah. Some of them had a decidedly dubious reputation. Rahab, she's a prostitute. Tamar, she tricked her own father-in-law by pretending to be a prostitute in order to have children with him. Some of them were just incredibly ordinary. Four of them were women. Shock. And two of those weren't even Israelites. None of them had a background or a lifestyle that would normally be mentioned in the genealogy. So why was this? I think what Matthew is highlighting is whether you're a prostitute, a king, or a king, whether you're male or female, whether you are extraordinary or ordinary, Jew or Gentile, good or bad, God's plan includes you. And Jesus, who is the Messiah, the Savior, to all who call on his name, God's plan is still unfolding and still includes you. Now let's look at this genealogy just a little bit more. In it, there are 14 generations times three. Mike Beaumont explains, he says that part of the reasoning for this would have been that seven, numbers in the Bible are incredibly important. The number seven is the perfect number. And if you want to accentuate something, you double it or triple it. So to double it in the first place, 7 to 14, and then to triple that is perfect, 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 perfect. This is a perfect genealogy as far as the Jews would have been reading it. So we can outline that Matthew is predominantly addressing a Jewish audience, showing how what he's going on to talk about is really rooted in the Old Testament. But here is a continuation. It's not like we can park that. This is a continuation of all that has gone before. God is still working out his plans. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just for the Jews. It rapidly engages with and includes all Gentiles. And we'll see right at the end in chapter 28 when we get there, when Jesus says, go out into all the world. This good news is for all of us. Okay, so if that's who he's writing the book to, what is he really trying to communicate? As we read this euangelion, what are we really trying to see that Matthew is saying to us? In one line, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament story. Jesus is the promised Messiah. The Jews have been waiting, eagerly waiting, watching for a Messiah, someone to come and rescue them, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. Jeff King said it a few weeks ago, didn't he? He said that we really cannot understand and comprehend the New Testament if we don't know the Old Testament. You can't just have the New Testament. It doesn't make sense. You'll never understand the New Testament if you don't look at the Old Testament, because it's a continuation of this incredible story. I've more than once heard people say this to me, and actually Sue and I were walking across a path in the Isle of Scilly, and there were some walkers coming the other way. And you know, you get glimpses of conversations, and all we heard was, oh no, I don't bother with the Old Testament anymore. It's only the New. I only want the New. I don't want all that rubbish of the Old Testament. Sue actually grabbed my arm and said, you're on holiday. You see, you can't do it. You can't have the New if you don't read the Old. You can't say, oh, the Old Testament's all about anger and wrath. I'll have the God of the New Testament. He's just about love. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. God doesn't change halfway through. This is one Bible, one collection, one library of 66 books written by dozens of authors, all inspired by the Holy Spirit of God himself to display and reveal his plans. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9 says, the Lord is merciful and compassionate. He's slow to get angry. He's filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all of his creation. So what is Matthew doing? He's showing us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament story. And from the very beginning, God had to plan to deal with sin and to build a family of faith. It started with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It went through the 12 tribes of Israel. And now we see finally Jesus, the Messiah, who fulfills this epic story. But of course, to the Jews, to those who have been reading their Old Testament, Jesus doesn't look like the Messiah they've been expecting. They've been expecting this incredible Messiah, someone who will come in and defeat their enemies, push back the Roman occupation, someone who will be bigger and bolder, more aggressive, more powerful, more intimidating, more I am the victor. But instead, this Jesus speaks a whole new language. He speaks in a whole new way of ushering in the kingdom of heaven. And when you hear that, by the way, when you hear the kingdom of your heaven, this is partly because Matthew is addressing this Jewish audience, and they wouldn't want to say the name God. They wouldn't want to pronounce the name of God. So by referring to the kingdom of heaven, really Matthew's talking about the kingdom of God. and ushering in that in. So Matthew's good news, his euangelion, says, let me just go back a fraction. He says Matthew will quote from the Old Testament because he wants to tie them in. He says something like, this is what was done in order to fulfill what the prophet said. Many of the key verses in this book refer to the prophetic, and the prophetic, and even Jesus himself in Matthew 5, chapter 5, 17 says, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, again, I've seen it written in some books. Well, Jesus knew what the prophecies were, and he just went out of his way to fulfill them. That way, it made him look more credible. That's all right. But from conception, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, it's all there in the Old Testament. And his virgin birth to the place he grew up in is all there. It all fulfills these Old Testament prophecies. But how could Jesus organize how he was conceived if he was some sort of scammer? How could he organize which village he was born in? Which country his parents escaped to? It was Egypt, by the way. How could he do this? This isn't some accident. This is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies before their very eyes. There are five Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the first two chapters alone. This is euangelion. This is good news. So I've shown you that at the start of this good news book, we see that Jesus is from the line of David. Read through those genealogies. See all those names. It points you to that. We see how clearly that Jesus, how Matthew takes the Old Testament and the line of Jesus, and he says this is one continuation, Old Testament and New Testament together. We need them. And we see that Jesus is the promised Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, ushering in a new way of living, a new way of being, a new way of teaching. The kingdom of heaven is among you, said Jesus. And as we go through this book for the next few months, as I said, not every week, we're going to see that Jesus is the one that delivers us from slavery. Jesus will give us new, divine, mind-blowing, world-altering teaching. We will see that it's Jesus and only Jesus that saves us from our sins. We'll see that it's Jesus who brings about a new relationship between God and his people. And we'll see that it is Jesus himself who will help us show the communities of Stroud District and beyond how to experience the unconditional love of Jesus. We can be those who, a bit like Tracy talked about earlier, can display and declare euangelion, good news that changes lives. That's what the book of Matthew is all about. That's what we're going to be looking at. And I'd encourage you that if you've never done it, it takes 2.5 hours, start to finish. Read the whole of the book. See it in its wide sweep. And just see what God might be saying to you. It is indeed good news.